on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, that was Pull Up Tay on the intro music. As always, it is time for another episode of The Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson, and I'm joined by my twin brother, Andrew Robinson, and we are here to give you the latest in all of your mid-major college basketball. But first, I want to make sure I tell you guys, you know, as we do the last couple episodes, man, make sure you guys are liking, subscribing, sharing this podcast, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Make sure you guys are, helping us to get this podcast out to as many people as possible. Make sure you guys give us a rating when you're listening on Spotify or Apple. Subscribe and, just keep sharing the good gospel, man. You know, tell the friends about the auto bid so we can get these views up. You know what I'm saying? So we can keep growing this thing day in and day out, man. So it was a great week of college basketball, man, as always. So, Andrew, man, talk to me about the wins that stuck out to you the most, man.
Yeah, man. As you guys probably know, just from checking us out, hopefully you guys are following us on Twitter at All Facts Media and on Instagram at All Facts Media. If you guys have been following along, man, I've been busy, man, over at George Mason covering a lot of those games this weekend, man. And I got to see a lot of A-10 action over the last week. Got to see three games, George Mason against VCU, George Mason against Richmond, and then yesterday, George Mason against LaSalle. And, the biggest thing I want to talk about just thus far, man, VCU's got a stud in Bowen Tyler, man. When I saw him, man, he had 23 points. At one point in the game, he was like 5 for 16, man. But, closed the game like, I think, 4 for 7, something like that, maybe 5 for 8, something like that, man. He ended up with 23 points. Like 9 for 20, 10 for 20, something like that from the field, man. He ended up playing a pretty good game, man, but he's a very talented guard, man. Can get to the basket, can shoot it. He's skinny. He's very, very slender, but he gets to the basket, can finish. He's only a sophomore, man. And I think he's going to be a kid that, not only is going to be amongst the elite when we're talking about, guards in the A-10, but I think, by the time it's all said and done, maybe, if he comes back next year, if he does continue to develop, man, I think he could be one of the best guards in college basketball for sure, man. So if you haven't checked out VCU, man, make sure you guys do that, man. I also got a chance to see Richmond against George Mason, and Richmond was able to get a pretty convincing win over Mason when I saw them the other day. I believe it was Saturday when they matched up. And I really like Richmond, man. I know Richmond, the team started off hot. They got off to a great start. Obviously, we know they had some big-time wins. And then they kind of fell off a little bit, cooled off, lost to St. Bonaventure, lost to Hofstra. But, I think that this team – actually, no, they only have one A-10 loss. Yeah. St. Mines is their 1-10 loss. But they look really good, man. I mean, they have a four-headed monster, really, in Jacob Gilliard, Blake Francis, Grant Golden, and the sophomore, man, Tyler Burton. Grant, when I was there, man, Grant Golden had a double-double, man. Tyler Burton played extremely well, man. I think he's another intriguing prospect, man, that has amazing pro potential because, he can get to the basket. He can shoot. He's long, athletic. He has that NBA frame. He's wiry. He has that Jason Tatum type of body. He's not as tall as Tatum is, but in terms of just his wingspan, I think that he has a chance to be really, really good down the line, man. And Richmond is a team that can beat you in so many ways, man. Dave Paulson actually mentioned that, they run that little interesting Princeton variation. They can kill you with a backdoor layup, but then they have those guards with Blake Francis and Jacob Gilliard that, are coming over top, getting threes off. You got Grant Golden who's killing you on the interior. They can beat you in a lot of different ways, man. So I think that's going to be a team that's very interesting, man. And we're going to say this for a little later in the segment when we get the games to look forward to, man. But it's a big-time showdown in the A-10. This weekend that we're going to get you guys a little bit more information on down the line. But those are kind of the big things I saw out of A-10. Last night, George Mason was able to get a 33-point win over LaSalle. you know, Mason was able to end a three-game losing streak there with a pretty convincing win over LaSalle, man. I mean, we talked about this, man. The A-10 is tricky, man. I mean, it was almost like I was watching two different teams, like, because this LaSalle team was a team that went on the road and beat Dayton, who was picked, I think, third in the league or something like that. And then, you know, to turn around and then lose by 30 to George Mason, it's like, this is the same team, man. And I think that LaSalle loss is going to hurt Dayton when it comes down the line for Selection Sunday, man. The A-10 is going to be a bear. We saw UMass, who nobody thought much of, man. We look at UMass now, and they're 3-1 in the A-10, just got a victory over URI yesterday in overtime. We knew that, you know, in any college basketball league, you know, you're going to have competitive teams, man. But when you have a team like a UMass, you know, that can get a win over URI, who's sitting at 3-1 right now in the A-10, then you have a team like LaSalle who beat Dayton, you know what I'm saying, but then turns around and loses by 30 to George Mason. The A-10 is going to be tricky, man. I think if these teams who are supposed to be at the bottom of the league continue to kind of usurp these teams at the top of the league, it's going to be tough. When it comes down to Selection Sunday for these teams to really separate themselves. I think as of right now, I think Richmond is looking very good. Believe it or not, man, I think VCU, man, they were picked relatively low in the league this year. But I think they're a great defensive team. Mike Rose has that team playing very well defensively. They play hard, man. They still are getting that Havoc style, you know, playing 94 feet. Which is really what allows them to stay in games. You know, they don't really have a dynamic scorer outside of Bones Highland, you know, but they play hard defensively, and Mike Rose has found a way to get the most out of his group. You know, so I think VCU is going to be there. St. Bonnie's, man, you know, with the pair of, you know, with Kyle Lawson up there, obviously, I think they're going to be formidable at the end of the year. You know, and then you never know. You know, like I said, you always have teams in the A-10, like Davidson seems to fare well in the A-10 tournament. You know, they seem to be able to make runs, but I don't know, man. I think it's going to be hard for the A-10 to really get more than two, max three teams in this year. I think there's more of a two-bid league this year. But we'll have to see. I think, that was what I saw at A-10, man. And if you go to the MAC, you know, Siena, you know, they're 4-0. They were able to pick up two wins over Fairfield. Obviously, we didn't know what they were going to look like, you know, coming off of quarantine for so long and not having – play the game until the year 2021, but they're off to a great start in the MAC, and they're going to get, you know, Ryder this weekend in another pivotal test. You know, they can get the 6-0. I mean, they would have created, you know, quite the separation at the top of the league. So we'll have to see what happens, man. But, you know, I think that's kind of, you know, my analysis of kind of, what stuck out to me thus far, man. How about you?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'll start with the biggest wins that I saw this weekend. Colgate got a sweep over BU, and I think this was the most surprising result of the weekend. I mean, BU was picked to win the Patriot League, but Colgate obviously was picked second. I mean, so these are clearly the two best teams in the Patriot League, but that conversation is no more. Colgate is the best team in the Patriot League, and it's not close. I mean, they went to BU on the road and swept BU, winning the first game by 7 and the second game by 40 points at BU. So, I mean, this is a team, Colgate, that was ranked 16th in the initial net rankings. They beat Army by 40, another conference opponent the first game. Then they came out and won next and lost next game by 2. This weekend, they go on the road to BU. They win by 7 in game 1, and then they win by 44 points in game 2 at BU. I mean, that was the most surprising result of the weekend. This is a BU team that you know, was picked to win the league. You know, everybody kind of thought extremely highly of this BU team coming into the league. And obviously, people thought highly of Colgate as well. But, I mean, I don't think anybody thought that we would get the result that we got this weekend, which was, you know, a sweep for Colgate, but by the margin. I mean, to go into BU on the second game of a back-to-back, and you know as well as I know, Drew, I mean, in college basketball, it's extremely hard to beat the same team twice, nevertheless, on the road. I mean, Colgate went to BU and beat them by 40 points, man. I mean, I think Colgate is going to be an extremely tough out. I mean, they are elite offensively. They're averaging, you know, almost 88 points a game on the year. They have four guys that are averaging double figures. I mean, if you look at their scoring output this season, they go 101, 75, 86, and 89. So, I mean, they're hanging, you know, between 75 and 100 points, you know, night in, night out. They're a team that is going to be extremely hard to guard going forward, man. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody in the Patriot League that's going to be able to take them out.
I mean, I was extremely surprised at that result. Also, Northeastern swept Hofstra. Hofstra was a team that we talked, that we, you know, spoke a lot about. Obviously, we had Coach Speedy Claxton on here last week, talking about that team. I mean, they were picked to win the CAA again this year after winning last year. They got swept this weekend by Northeastern. The first game, they lost at home in overtime by 3 to Northwestern. Then they went to Northwestern 2 days later, and they lost at Northeastern in game 2. So Northeastern is looking like a team to beat in the CAA right now. Hofstra, obviously, I think it's going to definitely be there toward the end of the year. I mean, obviously, as you know, it's hard to beat a team 3 times. So if they were to beat it, if they were to, you know, see each other again in the CAA tournament, that would definitely be something to keep an eye on. But definitely a shocking result there. San Diego State swept Nevada out in the Mountain West. San Diego State is a team that, you know, was ranked, you know, top 25 start the year. Obviously, they had lost a very good BYU team, and then they lost to Colorado State as well. But to bounce back with a huge sweep over Nevada was huge for them. Obviously, they're one of the best teams on the West Coast. So to get that sweep this weekend over a good Nevada team was huge for them to kind of get back in line. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about was Winthrop. They got a sweep over Gardner-Webb. They are now 11-0. I mean, we've talked a lot about, you know, Gonzaga and Baylor. And obviously Drake, as an undefeated team, Michigan as well as undefeated, but Winthrop is 11-0. They're still undefeated. We talked about this a lot last week, but they own a 16-point victory over Furman, who we all know we love, but, Winthrop is still undefeated. They're in the Big South. It's looking like it's going to be their conference to lose. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that team. That I haven't gotten a chance to watch them yet. I've peeked at a little bit of their game, but they're actually playing tonight versus Longwood on ESPNU in a nationally televised game. So definitely going to check them out tonight, 7 p.m. when they play Longwood, so I can go ahead and see, you know, just how good this Winthrop team is. But you spoke about the A-10 earlier, man, and I mean, that is definitely something that is extremely puzzling. I mean, I think the A-10 is in trouble, honestly. I mean, because, you know, in a normal year, we talk about the A-10, you know, on good years, you know, maybe they get 3-4 teams, and on bad years, it's like, is it going to be a 1-bid, a 2-bid league? I think we're in that territory now. I think that this is the league that is in danger of only having one or two teams, because I think the league, especially at the top of the top teams, you know, we haven't even seen St. Louis play yet. I mean, St. Louis is a top 25 team yet. They're 7-1, and their only loss is to Minnesota, which is obviously one of the best teams in the country over in the Big Ten. I mean, they've beaten LSU. You know, they're a really good team. They're right in the top 25 now, and they've been on pause for a while due to COVID-19. We haven't even seen them play yet. So, but then you have this quartet at the top: St. Bonaventure, VCU, UMass, Richmond, all tied at 3-1 right now. UMass, I don't think, is in that top tier. I mean, they have 2 wins over LaSalle, and then they obviously beat URI last night, a game that URI, quite frankly, kind of gave away at the end there. I had an opportunity to watch a little bit of that game towards the end. But they haven't really played anybody yet. I mean, this is a team that lost to George Mason. Mason is right now, I believe, 2-3 in A-10 play. UMass lost to them at home. So I don't think UMass is quite in that same, you know, tier at the top of the A-10, even though their record says so at this moment in time. So you got St. Bonaventure, VCU, Richmond all sitting up there at 3-1. I think, I mean, obviously, and then, like we said, a team like Dayton that was picked third in the league, they've lost to LaSalle and Fordham. You know, so I think they've played themselves out of the at-large conversation. URI, in that same sense, URI is an extremely puzzling team. I mean, this is a team that has beaten, you know, St. Bonaventure. They've beaten VCU. They had non-conference wins against Seton Hall and San Francisco. Then you turn around, they have losses, you know, to UMass. You know, so they also lost, you know, to Davidson in A-10 play as well. I mean, they're sitting at 3-3 right now. They're 6-7 overall. I mean, this is the, you know, mark of an average team. I mean, they can beat you on any given night. They can lose on any given night as well. So URI has also, in my opinion, played themselves off of that at-large bid. I don't say Bonaventure didn't have any non-conference opportunities. Really, they played Akron. I believe they played about 2 non-conference games. So they didn't really get any opportunities in the non-conference to kind of move that needle. So I think they're going to be a team that also is not going to be in competition for at-large bid. If they don't win the A-10, I don't see them getting into Section Sunday. So that leaves you with Richmond, St. Louis, and VCU. I think VCU is a team that's going to probably end up in that 9-10 loss category, just because of the fact that the A-10 is so tough, you know, that you're gonna, you know, on any given night, you could lose to any of those top teams. I mean, the A-10 right now, the VCU is sitting at 10-3 to 3-1 in the A-10, but, you know, I could easily see them losing,
you know, obviously they still got to play St. Louis. So they had to play a lot of these other teams in the A-10. So I think by the time it's all said and done, BCU is probably going to end up paying themselves out of that at-large conversation. So I think the two teams I think that it comes down to is going to be Richmond and St. Louis. I think St. Louis is pretty safe at this moment in time if they were to lose an A-10 tournament to get an at-large bid. And then Richmond, I think they're looking a little better now because that Kentucky win is looking a little better as of late. Obviously, they had a good start in the SEC. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that Kentucky win, which was pretty much the biggest one of their season, isn't going to look that hot heading towards Selection Sunday, if we're being completely honest. So I think the A-10 this year is in danger of potentially only getting, you know, one, maybe two teams in. But I think that is definitely the ceiling for this A-10 just because of how good, you know, the teams are at the top. I mean, they're going to essentially be beating each other on a night-in, night-out basis. You mentioned the MAC earlier. Siena is looking like Siena, man. I mean, they're back. I think they've separated themselves in the MAC, you know, having swept Monmouth, having swept Fairfield. They're sitting at 4-0. The only undefeated team in the league right now is Siena. Jalen Pickett's averaging 18-10. Manny Camper's averaging 13-10. They've got five guys in double figures. I mean, it's looking like Siena is definitely deserving of that preseason first team selection that they got. Jalen Pickett obviously scored his 1,000th point of his career over the weekend. He probably would have got last year as a sophomore if they didn't, you know, if the season didn't end early. I mean, he got it three games into a junior campaign. So, I mean, I think Siena right now is definitely looking like the clear-cut favorites in the MAC. And then lastly for the MAC, man, I think that Manhattan is in trouble, man. I mean, they're sitting at 2-4 right now. And then got Niagara, obviously, who was picked fifth in the preseason poll. Man, Niagara's currently sitting at 500 in the MAC right now. They're going to Girardi Gymnasium to get a two-game series this weekend against Manhattan. I think Manhattan really needs a sweep here, man. I mean, that early season result when they got swept by Marist, I think that really hurt them because now they're sitting at 2-4. I think they really need to get to 4-4 to get back level in the MAC. So I'm gonna be looking at that series this weekend with Manhattan and Niagara to see if Steve Masiello's squad can get back on track.
Yeah, man. I think, you know, obviously Manhattan's a talented bunch. You know, I was watching them against Quinnipiac, though. They lost the first night, and then they won again. They lost the first night to Quinnipiac, and I think it might have been like double overtime or something like that. Then they won the next night, but the game was in the 40s.
I want to say it was 48-45, Manhattan.
I don't think there was any player in double figures on either side. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's weird, man. I mean, obviously we know Ant Nelson is, you know, we know what he can do. We know what he brings to the table, man. But I think, you know, I don't know, man. I like I said, we know what Samir Stewart is capable of doing. Some of y'all has gotten off to a somewhat slow start. He hasn't really been able to get into a rhythm like and perform how we've seen him perform when he was at UMass. But I think it's going to be key, man. You know, Warren Williams played pretty well versus Quinnipiac, man. But I think they're missing, like, that other wing, you know, front court presence. So I think Manhattan's really going to need, you know, to kind of find a way to get more out of Samba Diallo, man, and to kind of hopefully if he can, you know, return to how he was playing, you know, last year when he was at UMass – I think that would be huge for Manhattan, but I think that's the Jaspers are definitely a team who, you know, are going to be in need of a sweep, man, to kind of get back in the running because, you know, like you said, man, you know better than anybody, you know, in the MAC, you don't want to fall behind, man. You want to try to get that first round by if you can, but, like, you know, it's hard in that MAC tournament trying to play on that first night and then win four games as opposed to three. You know what I'm saying? You want to try to, you know, you want to try to be in that top five if you can, man. And especially this year, you know, I think this is a year where we could see a team that, you know, we don't really expect to be up there, you know, in that fifth seed, man, especially when the MAC is so close. You have a lot of teams right around that 500 level. You have a team like Quinnipiac, man, who obviously got off to a late start, but you know, you have teams like that who could come in and make some noise, man. Marist has been pretty good to start, you know. A team like, you know, Canisius who beat St. Peter's, you know, like you never know what they're going to be. So it's like you really need to be able to kind of get yourself into the, you know, at least middle of the pack. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you know, you want the first round bye, you know, but I think for Manhattan, they're going to need to find a way to kind of try to string some wins along here soon.
Yeah, not for sure. I mean, I think 500 will definitely get you there. I think you can get to 500 in the MAC. You know, normally that'll get you close to a bye. So I think, you know, if they can get to 4-4 this weekend, then they'll be, you know,
on the right track toward, you know, getting that by me. I think Manhattan is definitely one of, you know, in that, you know, 5 to 7 range. I think the four best teams, if I had to say it today, I think I'll go Siena, St. Peter's, Iona, Monmouth. If I had to pick the best four teams right now, that fifth seed is going to be, you're going to have Quinnipiac, you're going to have Manhattan, you're going to have Marist, you're going to have Canisius, all Niagara. That's all in that mix right there for that fifth seed. So I mean, I think it's anyone's race at this point in time. But I think, you know, obviously Quinnipiac's at 500. Manhattan needs to get to 500. They're 2-4 right now. But Niagara's at 500. Canisius is at 500. So that's why I think it's extremely important that Manhattan gets these two wins this weekend, so that they can get to 500 and give themselves a chance to, you know, to be in position to get that bye, man. It's in this moment though that I'm realizing that we didn't even preview our interview, man. So I definitely want to tell you guys we're super excited today to be joined by Darius McGee, the leading scorer of the Liberty Flames. Right now he's averaging just under 15 points a game for Liberty, who's obviously one of the best mid-major teams in the country. I mean, if you watch this show, you know we love Liberty. They're one of the best teams in the Atlantic Sun. They're always one of the best mid-major teams in the country. I mean, obviously having won a game in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago over Mississippi State. They are definitely going to be a force again this season, having already beat, you know, SEC teams like Mississippi State. They beat South Carolina. They almost beat Missouri, who was obviously a top 25 team. They played TCU. They played a great non-conference schedule. I mean, we asked Darius about, you know, all this in our interview. We asked him about the non-conference schedule that they've played. We've asked him about, you know, what it felt to get that victory over Mississippi State in that tournament. They're having to play them again this year. So without further ado, we want to get you guys over to that interview with Liberty guard Darius McGee. All righty, guys. All Facts Media here. We are joined by one of the best players on the mid-major level, Darius McGee, the guard for the Liberty Flames. So, Darius, man, thanks for joining us today, man.
Appreciate y'all boys for having me, man.
No problem at all, man. So we want to go ahead and get right into it, man. You guys are off to a great start. You guys are 3-1 in the Atlantic Sun, but also, you know, had a great stretch in the non-conference, man. So talk to me about your team starting. How you think you guys are playing at the beginning of the year?
To start, like, we got a couple of new guys, a lot of new faces. So, you know, everybody trying to get in sync, trying to absorb what the coach is giving to you and execute it. So I think just, like, right now we in a little sweet spot right now in the season. Everybody kind of connecting, and you can see it, and guys are feeling it. So it just makes it that much more easy.
Now, you guys had two early wins over Mississippi State and over South Carolina in the non-conference. You know, you guys are a program that's kind of been on the uptrend for the last couple of years, you know, obviously getting in the NCAA tournament, having success. So kind of talk about, you know, what those two wins meant to you guys and your team to be able to kind of go and get two wins over Power 5 conference teams.
Facts. I mean, we go into every game thinking we can compete with everybody. So, but for the new faces, like I said, like to get those wins against those programs, it kind of like give those guys that much more confidence, that much more courage to let us know, like, if we really stick to what we got to do and what the coaches are telling us, like, we can beat anybody or compete with anybody in the country. So,
now you guys beat Mississippi State your freshman year in the NCAA tournament and then had the opportunity to play them again this year and beat them again. I mean, was there any extra motivation going into that game, you know, having already played them a few years ago in the tournament?
For sure. And then, like, you know, considering we beat them in the tournament, they had a couple people who, like, Lamar Peters, another cat who got drafted as well. Matter of fact, they had a freshman who was at the time who got drafted in the first round this year's draft. So, like, knowing we put them out in March Madness and that we had to play them again early in the season, we knew they'd be coming out with a vengeance. So we had to come juiced up, ready to meet the tone.
Yeah. No, you guys have won the your conference for the last 2 years, and obviously, you know, this year you guys are, you know, once again towards the top of the league. Kind of talk about your team's expectations going into this season, kind of where do you guys stack up, you know, in the rest of the Atlantic Sun?
Going in it, taking it one game at a time. Like, everybody's talented, everybody's competitive, so you just got to take it one game at a time and continue to do what you do, and ultimately get back to the A-Sun championship and win it again. So, but you gotta win the regular season first.
Now, your team, like you said earlier, that expects to win. You guys expect to be in the tournament, expect to beat these high major teams. I mean, you guys went out and played, I think, four or five high majors, you know, obviously three SEC teams. TCU was in there as well. How do you think that non-conference schedule prepared you guys for the teams you're going to face in the tournament?
It definitely does a great job. Like, you playing against those people who are so talented. Like, they're at Power 5 schools for a reason. So, it just shows you what you're weak at and where you got to, like, continue to grow during the season to get to that point that you want to be at come tournament time, because you don't want to, you know, have things go underneath the rug and then it get exposed come tournament time and you ain't got a chance to, you know, redo things. So you just want to get it all out early and make sure you're on the one track.
Now, man, for you personally, man, like, you know, you're a guy who developed each and every year, you know, got a little bit better and got a little bit better. And, you know, now, you know, you're a guy who's, you know, leading this Liberty team in scoring. And you're definitely one of the best guards, not only in the Atlantic Sun, but just across mid-majors in general, man. So kind of talk about, you know, your development and kind of what you bring to the table, you know, to your team.
I think it goes with, like, what you said, like, taking it each year at a time. Well, every day, like, just trying to take in as much, like, game as I can from whoever. Like, my vets, when I came in my freshman year, did a great job of just breaking it down to me, like, what's what, like, what I need to do, like, strategically and just being smart about my work. Because, like, at this level, everybody in the gym working hard. So you just working hard and maintain. Like, you really got to be smart about what you do just to, like, put yourself in a whole different, like, you know, bracket. So I think that along with, like, seeing those guys, like Caleb, who just signed to the Wizards, and he was playing with the Wizards, like, seeing him on NBA TV guarding KD, Kyrie, like, it gives you that confidence, that courage to really, like, soak in to what these people that are around you and what they're giving to you. Like, they're here for your best benefit. So, like, just taking that each and every day and continuing to build on it.
Yeah.
Now, your team is a team that is extremely balanced. I mean, nobody on your team even averages more than 27 minutes a game. I mean, you play the most minutes a game, and you're at about 27.8. So, I mean, you know, talk about, you know, the depth of your team and how you guys are kind of able to be able to get performances, you know, from multiple guys night in and night out.
Man, everybody talented, everybody's skillful, man. Everybody's bought in, like, 1 through 15 or 1 through 16. Like, everybody has the same mission. Everybody comes into practice working hard. Everybody locked in, focused. Like, there's never any worry about, is this guy ready today or none of that. Like, from minute one to minute however, like, everybody's locked in, ready to execute what we got to do. So, and then when it comes to game time, whoever gets in, like, you got confidence that that guy going to rock out and he's going to do what he got to do. It's no bad blood or anything, so.
That's good, man. Now, you know, for you, man, like, I would say, you know, obviously, you know, me and my brother, you know, we know who you are, obviously, because from playing pickup, you know, back in the day, man. But, like, you know, I think if you're on a national level, you're probably somewhat underrated, man. So, like, you know, tell us your story, man. Like, just, you know, where are you from? You know, what brought you to Liberty and kind of how did you get to where you are today?
I mean, grew up in Roxboro, North Carolina, like you guys know, like, small city. I played for Roxboro Community School, small school. It's a 1A school. My freshman year, me and my brother started together at the 1 and 2, so that was, like, unique. And those were kind of my vets early on, so I kind of was forced to learn from older people and play with older people coming up. So then after my junior year at Roxboro, I transferred to a school called Blue Ridge in St. George, Virginia. Talented school, got all sorts of 4-star players, 5-star players. Amir Sams at Clemson, Sadar Calhoun at Florida State, a kid named Chris Rogers at Tribeca. Like, so many talented players who I was, like, it was my first time playing with other guys who were on the same level, if not another level than I was. So, learning how to gel and play with them and, like, affect the game in multiple ways instead of scoring like I was in Roxborough kind of just, like, set me up for college. Because when you come into college, it's like, whatever you can do to stay on the floor and help your team win, whether that be rebounding, whether that be cutting hard, spacing appropriately, making the extra pass. Like, you got to learn how to do all those things ASAP. So then when I got to college, like, it was an easy decision for me to come to Liberty, for one. Like, just the atmosphere, the coaching staff, the players. Like, this was the only school I took an official visit to. Like, I came out. Matter of fact, I committed before my official because I just, like, I knew. I woke up one day and I called my mom. I was like, I know I want to go to school. And she was like, it's Liberty, isn't it? So, like, that just confirmed it for me from the jump. Like, she knew before I even told her. The coaching staff, like, they always had my best interest at heart. They always honest. Like, I ain't got to worry about him sugarcoat anything. He'll give it to me how I need it to be given. So, I mean, it was an easy decision.
Now, you talk to people around college basketball, they always say that, you know, Coach McKay is one of the most respected coaches. You know, they always have good things to say about him. What impact has he had, you know, on your career there at Liberty, you know, in the recruiting process? How instrumental was he in that process? And then over your 3 years there, you know, what has your relationship with him been like, you know, while you've been at Liberty?
It's been great, man. It's like a father figure to me now. Like, I always listen to what he has to say, and it's never just basketball. Like, it's spiritual. It's just, like, daily life. Like, he always speaking wisdom, man. Like I said, you know it's coming from a good place, and you know he has nothing but your best interest. So it's easy for you to, like, interpret it and soak it in and try to apply it to your own life. But the recruiting process, I played for Team Loaded North Carolina, and I was, like, in a shooting slump come, like, the gauntlet. I was, like, 0 for, like, 20-something. From three. So, like, you know me, I'm all in my head, like, dang, like, what's going on? You know, in the dark cloud that we sometimes get in. And he called me. He was like, I'm still rocking with you, like, da-da-da-da. Like, I got belief in you. And then next thing you know, I come out of the shooting slump the next game. Like, I may be, like, 7 for 9. We get a big win. So, like, just seeing him have that belief in me before I even stepped on campus, like, that was huge. Like, you know, when you're a kid – especially playing AU, you're trying to prove yourself and, like, show colleges you belong. You're trying to just prove yourself to everybody that, like, you a hooper. And then when I got to college, my freshman year, I went into a 6-game shooting slump. I was 0 for 36 from 3. And I was just in my head, like, my teammates, you know, like, they tell you keep shooting the rock, but at the same time, it kind of just get muted. Like, we started deflecting it off. And then he said the same thing to me, and then I came out of the shooting slump, and I think I had, like, a good game against Virginia Tech, even though we lost. Like, I came out hot, and it was just, like, a good feeling to get that weight off my back. But having somebody believing in you like that, especially, like, in your low moments, is huge.
Sure. I mean, obviously, being players and stuff, like, I can definitely speak to, you know, how important it is to have a coach that has confidence in you know what I'm saying, how important that is to your game, man. So, like, if you could describe your game, right, for people who maybe have never seen a Liberty game or maybe, you know, don't know anything about Darius McGee, like, how would you describe your game as a player?
A player who gonna do anything that he can to get the win. Like, I'm not a player who has to score the ball to, like, be happy with the team's success. A lot of people notice how much I run around just because of our offense, and, like, I'm short, I'm small compared to everybody else, so I got to use what I got to my advantage. So, shoot the ball really well. Unselfish player. Like, just looking for the best possible shot from the team each and every possession. And early on, defense was a weakness, but as I've gotten older, I've becoming more confident on that end of the floor, making plays on that end of the floor. So, just a player that's going to go out there and give it his all regardless of his size.
Now, you guys are obviously, you know, one of the favorites in the Atlantic Sun, along with Lipscomb. I mean, you guys played them about a week and a half or so ago, got a split. I think you know, the consensus is that you guys are the best two teams in the league. Obviously, Florida Gulf Coast is going to be there as well, as they always are. But, I mean, what do you guys think you're going to have to do to be able to, you know, to if you were to see Lipscomb again in March, you know, to make sure that you guys are going to be able to get that W?
I mean, you just got to take it one game at a time, man, regardless of who it is or who we facing on the other side. Once we get there, like, you just got to take it one game at a time and making sure that we're getting better each and every game. Like I said earlier, you want to make sure when it comes at tournament time that you're clicking on all cylinders and everything has been addressed throughout the season. So, like, just taking it one game at a time, continuing to grow with one another.
So, man, like, I want to talk about this, man. Like, for the people who are listening to this podcast and, you know, may not know, man, like, so me and Ace had the opportunity to meet Darius back in the day, back at some open runs back in Greenbelt, man. And it was crazy when I looked and I saw that you were at Liberty. I was like, yo, I remember this dude from back in the day. Like, you was, like, we would be hooping, and you was come out and throwing lobs and doing I thought crazy dunks. I'm like, yo, this dude 5'6", whatever he was back then, dunking crazy. Like, it was crazy, man. Like, so, like, first of all, like, how'd you end up, you know, in the DMV circle? I know you remember you said you went to the school in Virginia, but, like, what brought you to the bump? Like, you know what I'm saying? How'd that even happen, like, back then?
Yeah, my cousin, man, DJ Barnett, man, we've second cousins on my mom's side. So, growing up, our birthday's in June, so growing up, like, it was always just me and him, like, the two hoopers in the family, so we was always together. So, my mom and his sister actually went to school together, so I would come to Maryland and kick it with him for, like, maybe a week or two in the summertime. So, you know, I'm running around with him, hooping at any and everywhere. Like, I remember my first time hooping in the DMV, I was playing against Donovan Toley. Right. So I'm like, I don't really know nobody, but I ain't really trying to do too much. And DJ was already telling me about Don and, like, how nice he was. To this day, fastest guard I've ever played against Like, bro, super shifty, super. Got mad respect for him, bro. But that's how I ended up in that area. I was just, like, coming up there in the summertime, kicking it with DJ and just hooping.
Now, on a little bit of a lighter note, man, I mean, you know, me and Drew, I remember we were at Quinnipiac. We had a tournament over at Liberty, and we're sitting in the campus, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's Christian school. I heard everything is mad strict over here. Like, it's no co-ed dorms, and it's everything is, like, real locked down over there. So I was wondering, like, what's it like being a student athlete over there? I mean, obviously, we know these other schools, like, you hear these crazy stories and all this stuff going on. But, like, what's it like at Liberty, man? I mean, I know y'all are a little bit different over there. So, like, from your perspective, man, what is it like going there, man?
It's definitely something you have to get used to, but, like, considering I went to Blue Ridge, which is, like, the all-boys, all-boarding school, so I had to wear, like, the coat and tie, clean shaving, all that before I even got to college. So I already kind of had, like, rules and regulations to abide by. So when I got here and I knew, like, it won't co-ed dorms, like, you got curfew by a certain time, like, regardless of how you feel about it, you got to get it done. Like, you can't let stuff like that stop you from doing what you want to do. Am I going to let a curfew stop me from chasing my dream? Like, nah. Like, it is what it is.
Like, dude, you got to be in the dorm by a certain time? Or, like, how that work?
Yeah, you got to be in the dorm by a certain time. But that's only for people who stay on campus. Like, once you move off campus, like, you're pretty much on your own doing your own thing. Like, I've been living off campus since my sophomore year.
Or that's kind of crazy. It clocking where you at.
Yeah, so, like, your freshman year, you get pitched to the fire, like, you got to go through it.
So, and I kind of on that same subject, man, like, I do want to ask you, man, like, it was definitely some turmoil around Liberty, like, around the, you know, the summertime and offseason where a lot of football players were leaving because there was some conflicting views about whether their personal views aligned with the school and things like that, man. Liberty took a lot of heat because of that. You know, what was that like for you kind of, you know, from a basketball standpoint? Obviously, you're also, you know, obviously African-American. And, you know, during these times now, man, I mean, it's very important that people can, you know, express themselves and kind of be able to be on the right side of, you know, whatever they feel politically. So for you, man, like, you know, what was that time period like? Did you feel a moment where, you know, you didn't really feel like the school really aligned with your views? Like, and where do you stand on that now?
It was definitely, like, an interesting time, and it was a time of observation, like, that whole time period, even in the world, let alone just on campus. Like, you just watching and you listening to what everybody says and, like, depicting them where people standing. But that was, like, the beauty of what made me come here. I think that was the first time it was evident of, like, that vibe that I was getting from just the basketball program in itself. And, like, how, I guess, like, I could just feel the good spirit off of them. Like, when it came that time, we as a team, like, would have, like, I guess, like, educational, like, groups, or we would just, like, you know, talk about what's going on and, like, come to a decision as a team of where we stand. And, like, we actually drew up, a letter of where we stood and posted it on the gram. And, like, we also, if you watch our warm-ups, we created, like, a logo and two shirts. One shirt says created equally, and then the other is a circle with, like, all different type of pigments that just show where we stand on as a program. So, like, I don't think many places or universities allow, like, or will have the courage to come together as a team and make a firm stand like that, especially, like, with what was going on in the world. And, like, even to this day, it's nothing for me to go to my teammates and talk about where we stand or, like, you know, just come to a firm agreement as a unit to present to the world.
So kind of with that being said, like, do you feel like, you know, taking that into consideration and how everything that transpired in the summer with guys leaving the program and then, you know, looking back, I guess, or like you're looking forward now, do you feel like the university has created an environment where, you know, student athletes can speak out, or do you feel like they still kind of like they have a ways to go and things that they need to work on to kind of get to a point where people actually feel comfortable, especially student athletes, because at the end of the day, we're on scholarship, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, I know there's this fear aspect sometimes too, where you feel like if I say a certain thing, are they going to take my scholarship? You know, what that's going to be? Is it going to be backlash from the department or from the president of the school?
For sure.
You know, where do you stand on that now? Like, do you think that Liberty as an institution has done a good enough job in creating that space where you guys do feel like you guys can speak out on things that you care about?
For sure. Like, definitely credit to the university, because it's not only our program as a men's basketball team, but, like, the women's basketball team, the football team. Like, each program is pretty much, like, they've gave them the freedom to, you know, take a stance and, like, express their, like, words as their team. So, credit to the university. I think they definitely have gave us, like, a platform to voice our opinions.
And how instrumental, you know, was your coach during that time? I mean, I know I've spoken to athletes that have been, you know, very, very high on the way their coach handling things. And I've spoken to athletes where they weren't necessarily happy with how their head coach, you know, whether they didn't support them. I've heard stories of coaches, you know, saying, oh, you can't kneel, you can't protest, you can't, you know, do this and that. And then I've heard players that have said, oh, nah, my coach has been amazing. Like, you know, he was very supportive of us. I mean, how instrumental has your coach been in you guys to you guys throughout this whole process?
Right, huge, man. Like I said earlier, whatever decision we came to as a team, as a group, player by player, our coach was 10 times behind it. Like, and he wouldn't make a decision unless he came to us about it first and we agreed to it. So, like, credit to him too as well. Like, he just made it that much easier for us to, like, be okay with our feelings and be okay with our opinions and get that across.
Now, you know, with everything that took place at the Capitol, you know, a couple of years ago, man, obviously that was a trying time for, I think, athletes everywhere. And it was crazy because I was actually covering a game. George Mason and VCU actually played that same day, man. And they were talking about how heavy that was to kind of have to see that and then, you know, still play a game, things like that. For you as an athlete, man, like when you were watching that and, you know, as an African-American man, you know, before that, you know, kind of what were the thoughts that run through your head, you know, when you saw that taking place? And did you guys ever have any discussions about that, like as a team or anything?
We ain't really talked about it as a team. Like, we all, from our conversation beforehand, I don't think none of my teammates, like, are in an opposition of where I feel or other teammates on my team feel. Like, I think we all pretty much are in the same line. And my own personal thoughts, like, I ain't been able to, like, sit down. Today is the first off day we've had, and I've done a million things today, but, like, I ain't had a chance to really, like, sit down and watch everything, like, second for second and read everything word for word. But, like, we all pretty much have similar feelings to the situation. Like, to me, respect goes a long way. So, regardless of feelings or circumstances, like, respect always must be uphill.
Now, on a little bit of a lighter note, man, I mean, obviously, Drew and I remember, you know, back in the day, all them crazy dunks you used to do, man. It's well documented, you know what I'm saying, that you are definitely a leaper, but you're also a guard. So, I mean, we used to have discussions, you know, in the locker room where it's like, all right, would you rather, you know, get a crazy body, or would you rather, you know what I'm saying, snatch somebody, you know what I'm saying, make somebody fall? Or as a defender, would you rather get dunked on, or would you rather have somebody shift you? Me as a guard, I'd rather get punched on, because if you shift me...
Hey, bro, I'm going to be honest. I take my bounce very personal, si. For me, I'm going to have to go with the body. I'm already short, so it make it look worse on whoever got caught. And I can't get banged, though. I can get shifted or get crossed, but ain't nobody about to put it on my head. I take my bounce too personal for that.
So what's your go-to? Like, if you want a fast break and you know, you, let's say you're in an all-star game or something, you want a fast break and you got a dunk, like, what's your go-to that you're going, you know, bring out the package?
Go-to in an all-star game, I'm going with a windmill off 2 feet. Windmill off 2 feet. Regular game, I'm going two hands for safety because if I miss, I already know what time it is.
So on a score from 1 to 10, like, what's the chance that we can see the windmill in a Liberty game this year? Like, is that possible?
Bro.
Not even if y'all up 40? What if y'all up 40?
That buzzer still gonna sound. It don't matter what the score is.
I guess you can make sure you make it then.
Right.
Right? I also want to get your opinion on this, man, because me and Drew been going back and forth about this, you know, for a while, for the last couple of weeks. You know, the season started, obviously, you're a North Carolina guy. The Hornets obviously picked LaMelo Ball, you know what I'm saying? So everybody been debating, you know what I'm saying, should he be starting? I think he their best guard, personally, you know what I'm saying? Like Terry's like that, but I think he just makes that team so much better. Drew, on the other hand, is also on the side of the spectrum where it's like, oh, like, he shouldn't be starting,
Man, how do you think about LaMelo Ball? DeeP and Terry was getting 18 apiece last year. We can't act like they just some
slouch. I feel that, though.
No, LaMelo did triple-double. Like, he coming right off the porch getting to it.
Yeah, they definitely do add a different dynamic to their team and to their offense, especially that guard tandem. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you see them move one of them come this offseason, for real. Or before the trade deadline. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts certain games. I wouldn't be surprised if DT starts certain games. Like,
DT, go, bro.
I wasn't saying that Melo. I recognize he's number two pick in the draft, so he's going to start at some point. You know what I'm saying? He's going to start eventually. All I'm saying is, right now, I feel like the two guys who are proven, who have been there, gonna start. He develops. He's already off a little rocky. He had a donut his first game. He's gotten better.
That's fine. It's the first game as a pro. What are you like? Come on, bro.
That's my point, though. He's getting better as the season has gone on, and eventually he'll be able to take the reins and be the starter. But until that time, bring him along slow. Let Terry and Devontae lead him, and then when he's ready, boom, he's gonna start at five.
How you, bro, man? I was gonna take us for one game for DT to get hot.
It was one.
When he get hot, they're going to be like, okay. He needs exactly. – it's a reason.
Melo better than Devontae right now, today. He's better than him.
I don't know about that, man.
What?
I got to ask you, man. So give me your top five duos in the NBA right now, man. Give me your top five NBA overall, man.
See, I'm biased, bro. I'm biased. Like, I've been a Dame Dollar fan since he came in the league. That's the person who I study the most. So, Dame Dollar definitely my number one. But he's ain't gonna be in order. I'm gonna say Dame Dollar. You know,
over Bron.
I ain't gonna put him in order. I'm gonna just say his name first, just because that's my guy.
Okay.
Dame Dollar. Gotta go, Bron. Gotta go, Steph. You can't leave Steph out of there. KD. That fifth one hard, though. I ain't gonna lie to you. That fifth one hard. I'm gonna have to go Giannis, man. A lot of people don't give brother respect because he got a basic game, but he produced night in, night out.
I ain't mad at that five. I'm not, you know what I'm saying?
The only thing I'll say is you got to throw AD in there after what he did last year.
I don't like AD in the top five. I like him like 6-7. AD's not better than Bron, KD. I don't got him over Steph. I don't got him over Giannis. So like, maybe but that's the highest I can go for him is maybe at five. Because then you got like him, Kawhi, Steph. They all right there. Like, and I'm putting Steph over him.
If I had a starting five, I'd put AD at the five. Bro.
I can get with that. AD at the five. I can get with that. I don't know, though, man. I don't. Giannis, like, I you got to respect because it's back-to-back MVPs, but it's a lot of dudes over him, though. I got to put Luka in there. Like, Luka be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of guys that can take that fifth spot, though.
Definitely is, man. Shoot, that's the last question I have for you. I don't know if there's another one that Andrew wanted to ask for you or not.
Nah, man, that was it, man. Definitely, want to say thank you, to you, man, for coming on and talking some basketball with us, man. And like I said, man, it's really a pleasure, man, to see where you came from, back in the day, back in like 2014. Fast forward now, we're sitting at this platform in 2021, and seeing you had the success, man. So definitely hats off to you, man. Keep up the great work, man. I'm sure, we'll be seeing you guys, playing long into March, So best luck to you guys.
Man, appreciate y'all boys for having me, man. I'll keep doing what y'all doing. And my boy, you got to stop that right to left hezzy pull up, bro. I've been watching it, bro.
I'm dead.
That's your go-to, bro. You rocking to sleep. Once it touches the left, be ready for the pool, man.
Oh!
You got the scouting report for sure. Mm-hmm.
Your boys read the scout. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Man.
I'm dead. Okay.
Hey, y'all play ECU?
Yeah. Got them out of there.
My boy, Jane Garner. What'd he do to y'all, though?
I think
they have like a quiet like 18. Like
he might have had some quiet. We got them out of there though.
You got them out of there.
We got them out of there at their crib, respectfully.
I respect that.
It's a new pack. You got to get back to your DMV, man, so we can get some bump in like old times.
Back, man. Whenever this pandemic, you know, calm back down, whenever the season over, I definitely pull up.
Say no more.
All right, man. Y'all boys be easy, man.
Yes, sir. You too, man.
All righty, guys. That was Darius McGee, one of the highest flyers in all of mid-major basketball. You guys heard alluding to it in the interview, man. I mean, I read something on Twitter said he has a 48-inch vertical. I mean, and I do not dispute that one bit. I mean, that dude is extremely bouncy. Definitely, I mean, next year when he's a senior, I'd love to see him in that college Reese's All-Star Slam Dunk contest that we see every year, because he definitely could have a chance to win that. So, Darius McGee, again, having a career for Liberty, man. It was a lot of fun chopping it up and talking hoops with that guy, man.
For sure, man. You know, they make them different down south, man. I think they put a little extra sugar in their grits, you know, when they're young. You know, maybe give them an extra bounce in their step, man. But, man, that was definitely a lot of fun, man, reminiscing. You know, it's crazy to see how far he's come, like I said, you know, in the interview, man, just from the open gyms, man. And for y'all who don't know, man, like the EDOS runs back in the day, man, a lot of dudes used to be in the gym. I mean, this one, Darius was a young kid, really. He was just, like, coming in the gym. People didn't even know who he was back then. And obviously now we've seen what he's developed into, man. We've had Anthony Cowan been in the gym. You know, Markelle Fultz, you know, Stan Robinson, who played at Indiana and URI, man. Lonnie Moore from Temple, man. Obviously myself, my brother, Taiwan Kennelly, who, you know, played for the Wizards. James Palmer. I mean, we've had the best of the best, you know, in the DMV, man, from, you know, obviously the Deion Wise, who played at Maryland, you know, Elite 24, top recruit back in that 2014 class. I mean, I don't even want to start. Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to start naming guys. You know what I'm saying? Roddy Peters, obviously, you know, University of Maryland, top recruit. I mean, the names, man, the amount of guys that came through that run back in the day, man, is crazy. Man, obviously, like you said, Marquise Reed, obviously played at Clemson, is now, you know, just signed over in the top division in France for Euro Cup team, man. So shout out to Keese. And we've had numerous just, you know, college basketball, just kind of guys who are at the top of the mid-major, low-major, Division II guys in the gym. I mean, it's crazy, man, just to think back on that time, man, and the gym, man, all the guys that came through Spring Hill, Lake, Rec, and Greenbelt, man. And just I think it just says a lot to the talent, man, that we have in this area, man. And, you know, looking back, man, it was fun to be able to say, you know, we were able to have a part in that. And, you know, just to be able to continue to have these conversations, you know, with guys like Darius, who is now blossoming into one of the best, you know, mid-major players in the country.
Yeah, not for sure, man. Them runs was legendary, man. I mean, if anybody listening to this podcast right now, DMV had the best hoopers. We had the best open runs. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've had some elite runs. I'm sure there were other runs in DMV that were just as stacked with a whole other crop of players. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember last summer, me and you playing down at Howard, and, you know, with Hakeem Warg and Renzi Onowaku and Chris Wright and Austin Freeman. And, I mean, all these dudes, Talib Zana and
Dante Green.
I mean, them runs with serious pros, you know. And obviously, this summer down there in Baltimore, with Stan Kidd and Jamel Artis, and, you know, I mean, like I said before, I don't even want to start naming dudes. You know, I mean, the bump down here is crucial. You know, DC area, Baltimore area, this DMV area basketball scene is really crucial, man. So, for anybody listening to this podcast, man, from anywhere else in the country, if you haven't hooped in the DMV, man, come down here and get you some bump. You know what I'm saying? You'll not be disappointed. But I will put my DMV basketball up against any area of the country, anytime, any day, any place, anywhere. But it is time for our favorite segment of the week, the craziest thing that we saw this week. And this segment this week is extremely special to me, because a few of our teammates, former teammates at Quinnipiac, and a few of our AU teammates have connections to this win that we're about to talk about. Belmont Abbey, a Division II school, went on the road and beat their in-town rival Charlotte this past weekend. They won 75-72. Obviously, Charlotte is one of the better teams in the Conference USA. I mean, Charlotte has beaten Western Kentucky this year. They had some impressive wins early on, obviously, in the non-conference.
They had a good win over Davidson, which is obviously one of the best teams in the A-10. And Charlotte went and beat them and beat Western Kentucky, who obviously we've talked about at length on this show as well. But our old former teammate, Nate Davis, is over at Belmont Abbey. And they were able to go ahead and on the road and beat Charlotte in a huge win. Our old AAU teammate, Daquan Abram, obviously played there last year, starred there. He's now playing in Germany Pro A out of a Division II school. I mean, they've grown to be one of the biggest Division II powers. But for them to go on the road and beat a Conference USA school was extremely telling, man. So that was I definitely had to make sure I shouted them out for that win.
Yeah, man. I definitely think that it just says a lot about, you know, where we are now in the basketball world, man, that, you know, anybody can beat anybody, man. And there's just so much talent, you know, that oftentimes guys get overlooked. And you have guys like Nate Davis, who obviously ends up at Belmont Abbey, man. You have guys like Daquan Abram, who is undoubtedly a Division I player. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, you know, those guys land at D2 school at Belmont Abbey. And, you know, they're able to pull off a win. So, I mean, I can't even say I'm surprised, man, you know, because those guys have a great program. You know, the coach there is a great coach, man. Daquan was sending us videos in the group chat. You know, he's on FaceTime with Luka Doncic. I think, what was it, Steph Curry?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sent him a video, man. I'm like, yo, what the heck? It's crazy, man. He's talking to NBA players at D2 school. I don't even, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy, man. So, definitely shout out to those guys, man, at Belmont Ivy for a great, great win. I also have an honorable mention for the crazy thing I saw, man. I want to shout out my guy, man, my brother, my right-hand man, Peter Kiss. Peter Kiss became the first player in Bryant's Division I program history to record a triple-double. He had 12 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, and a win over Central Connecticut State. Definitely want to give a shout out to him, man. Anytime you become the first to do anything, it's definitely you know, noteworthy, man. So shout out to Pete Kiss, the first player in Bryant's Division I history to record a triple-double, man. And I think that's a kind of a segue into – I do want to mention Bryant, man. They're 9-2. I know we're going to get into some of the games that we're going to look forward to, so we're going to get you guys that. I mean, I think it's something right that we do, you know, start off with Bryant, man. Obviously, they're 9-2 overall. I think, in my opinion, they've kind of separated themselves from the rest of the teams in the NEC. Right now, they're sitting in first place, man, and they have a weekend series coming up against St. Francis. They actually playing tonight at 7 p.m. against St. Francis, PA. They're also going to play them again tomorrow. St. Francis, thus far, is 1-6. You know, but we know that they're definitely a team that, obviously, you know, anytime you're in mid-major basketball, you know, anybody could be anybody. So, you know, the fact that they're 0-3 right now, you know, I am picking Bryant to get these next two wins, man. I think if Bryant can get to 7-1, I think that they definitely, you know, separate themselves, man. I think that Jared Grosso is well on his way to getting Bryant to their first NCAA tournament in school history, man. So, you know, I think Pete actually had a crazy comment after they got a win overnight. He said, man, I think the thing behind all of our success, man, is that nobody really belongs here at Bryant. Like, none of these guys really belong here. Obviously, you know, we know Pete was – you know, a high major guy. I would start off as Quinnipiac and play 2 years at Rutgers. Actually, he was definitely there for 3 years, played 2 years at Rutgers. Now he's back at Bryant. You got a guy like Charles Pride, Putnam Science Academy native, who was under-recruited. You know what I'm saying? He was on a very, very good Putnam Science Academy team, probably got under-recruited and lands at Bryant. You have a kid in Mikey Green, man, who's averaging 18 a game. And when you see this kid, you know, he's small. He might not look like he's, you know, might not look like he's anything, man, but, you know, he's averaging 18 a game. He's only 5'11". You know, he's a small guy, a 150, you know, but he's super, super talented, man. I think Pete was right, man. I think, and Jared Grosso, man, I mean, he's known, you know, to be a great recruiter, you know, from his time at Iona. He's always been able to get talent in the building, man. So I think that, you know, we have to give some credit to, you know, Bryant this year. I think we have – I mean, literally, they have four guys who are averaging 13 or more, man. They got Mike Green at 18. You know, Pete basically at 18. Off the bench, they have a guy, Chris Childs, who's averaging 15 points, basically 16 points a game off the bench. You know what I'm saying? Charles Pryor, 13. So they have guys who can really fill it up, man. And obviously, you know, Bryant's a team that gets up and down. They shoot a lot of threes.
you know, I think that that bodes well for them, you know, going down the line in the NEC. Obviously, when you can put points on the board, you have a guy who can go out and get you a triple-double. I mean, I think that puts you a cut above the rest, man. So that's one game I'm looking forward to in the NEC.
You know, Bryan is really good. I mean, they're 9-2, but they are within a few possessions of being 11-0. I mean, they lost on the road at Syracuse by one, and then they lost to St. Francis Brooklyn on the road by two in the game they were up by, I think it was like 16, 18 points, and they blew the lead. But, I mean, there are a few possessions from being 11-0. And I think the committee recognized that they came in at number 91 in the first initial top 50 net rankings. I mean, this is a team that, you know, is top 100 Division I team. And I think they're trending toward they could top 75-ish, you know what I mean, if they keep winning. Nah, Bryan's definitely for real. Like you said, man, those guys can score it. Jared Grosso obviously is a Tim Cruz disciple, coach at Iona before getting to Bryan. And we know those guys playing against them in the MAC when Grosso was at Iona, man. Those guys get up and down. And, I mean, they're talented. I mean, Pete Kiss is a high major player playing in the NEC, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, those guys are very good. I think if they can get into the tournament, I mean, we could be talking about a team that could potentially get some teams some trouble down the line. So, definitely like that Bryan shout out. You mentioned though, man, games to look forward to, man. This is going to be an action-packed weekend of college basketball, man. I mean, it starts tonight at 7 o'clock. We mentioned Winthrop earlier. They're undefeated. Make sure you guys tune in tonight. They're playing Longwood at 7 p.m. on ESPNU. Also tonight at 9, you're gonna get San Diego State and Utah State. Two of the better teams in the Mountain West. I mean, those are probably two of the top, you know, two or three teams in the Mountain West going head-to-head tonight at 9 p.m. And then tonight we're going to have BYU and St. Mary's at 11 o'clock. So 7, 9, 11, back-to-back. If you're a hoop junkie, do not turn your dial up to TV tonight, man. BYU, St. Mary's, 11 o'clock tonight. A huge battle in that WCC. I mean, outside of Gonzaga, St. Mary's and BYU are the next two best teams in that league. I see BYU beat San Diego State earlier on this year. They're a very good team in St. Mary's, obviously, as well. Both of those teams are going to be in the discussion for at-large bids because we know Gonzaga is winning that league, you know, barring something unforeseen. But BYU and St. Mary's are playing tonight at 11 p.m. And then this Friday and Saturday, we're going to have Old Dominion and Rice, two of the better teams in Conference USA, are going to square off in a weekend series Friday and Saturday. In the MAC, Friday, Saturday, going to get Quinnipiac and Monmouth this weekend. I think that that's going to be a great contest. Obviously, Quinnipiac at 1-1. Monmouth's coming in at 5-3 in the MAC. I think it's going to be important that Quinnipiac, at worst, gets a split in that series. You don't want to go to 1-3 and get swept by Monmouth. So I think Quinnipiac is going to be looking to at least, at worst, get a split there with King Rice's squad. Historically, we've always played great games. When I was at Quinnipiac and Drew was at Quinnipiac, we always played Monmouth tough. I mean, I can't remember any of those games ending in blowouts other than, my freshman or sophomore year when they had Justin Robinson and them boys, and they came into Quinnipiac and beat us pretty bad. But like Drew mentioned earlier, VCU and Richmond playing Saturday at 1. Saturday at 2, you're going to get Wofford and Chattanooga, two of the better teams in the SoCon. I think those are probably two. Wofford and Furman, Wofford and Chattanooga, along with ETSU, are probably 2, 3, and 4 in the SoCon after Furman. And ETSU is actually going to play Furman on Saturday at 4. And then Saturday at 8 o'clock, you're going to get Gonzaga and St. Mary's. Those are two of the best teams in the WCC. They're going to play. Obviously, St. Mary's got a big week this week. They got BYU tonight, and then they got Gonzaga Saturday. So, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the alma mater, Coppin State. It's the grandest rivalry of them all. Coppin State, Morgan State, Saturday, Sunday. You know, the Battle of Baltimore, two HBCUs, you know, located, 3-4 miles away from each other. In Baltimore, it's East versus West. You know, it's Coppin versus Morgan. That's going to be a great game, great series this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, taking place in West Baltimore. Oh, no, it's at Morgan, so it's going to be in East Baltimore. So I'm definitely going to have my eye on those games. Going to be online. The live stream is free, I'm told. So anybody that likes HBCU hoops, make sure you tune in to Coppin and Morgan State this weekend.
Hey, man, I can't believe you mentioned the WCC and game are taking place tonight and didn't mention Gonzaga and Pepperdine. You mean, we also got Gonzaga and Pepperdine taking place tonight, 9 p.m. You know, shout out to Lorenzo Romo at Pepperdine. I know Gonzaga is favored by a narrow 27 points tonight.
So, but, yeah, I mean, When I was reading the games, though, I didn't really feel the need to highlight that one because we saw Gonzaga just beat BYU by, 20, 25 every night. I think BYU was a head and shoulders better than Pepperdine, so that game could get ugly. The spread of 27, I think I still might smash the over on that 27 if I was a betting man.
All right, I'm going to give Lorenzo Romo a little bit more credit. I think Pepperdine is going to play Gonzaga under 20 points tonight. I think it's going to be a 15.
Under 20?
15-point game tonight. I'm going to give Lorenzo Romo.
15-point game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think Pepperdine is going to – hey, man, it's a primetime game, man. ESPN, I don't think Pepperdine is going to, you know, come on national TV like that and get blown out. You know,
so everybody else, guys, I can play, have done just that. Came on that national TV, and they have gotten sent back home with a fat L.
Well, listen. I'm smashing the under, all right? If you guys listen to this, smash the under, all right?
Don't do that.
I'm going Pepperdine. Pepperdine will cover the spread. They're going to be under that 27-point margin.
I'm just going to read something to you real quick, Drew. Gonzaga, defeated Portland, 116-88. That's what, 16-12, 28-point victory. They defeated BYU, 86-69. That's what, 17-point victory. And it wasn't that close. It ended at 17, but it really wasn't that close.
17?
Gonzaga over San Francisco, 85-62. 23-point margin of victory. Let's see. I'm not even going to read Gonzaga and Dixie State. I mean, this was a 50-point victory. Gonzaga, Northern Arizona, 30. Gonzaga, Virginia, 23. I mean, they are dismantling everyone. Everyone, 20 points, 40 points. They beat Iowa by 11. I think Iowa was the closest game they played. Oh, no, West Virginia was a 5-point game. None of these teams are West Virginia. I mean, they are dismantling conference opponents by an average of about 20-something points per game. So
that is exactly why Pepperdine is going to be the difference maker. I think in conference play, man, you're not going to breeze by everybody. You're not going to breeze by everybody. Eventually, you're gonna encounter some resistance. So, you know, I'm rooting for Pepperdine to kind of just give him some bump, you know. But I want to shed a little more light, man. You know, you're talking about the rivalries, man. Coppin State, Morgan, East versus West Baltimore, man. But I'm talking about, how about VCU Richmond? I mean, these schools are only about 15 minutes away. The big time rivalry in the A-10 this weekend, man, between two of the top teams. You know, they're both sitting at 3-1. Got a dynamic guard matchup. You know, we got Jacob Gilliard and Blake Francis at Richmond, you know, against Bones Highland. You know, two different type of guards. Bones kind of a go get it. You know, I'm going to shoot the ball 20 times a game and I'm going to get 25. You know, I think Francis and Gilliard are guys who, you know, well, I will say Blake Francis does get his shots up. I will say that. When I was at George Mason, he was getting his shots up. And so I will say that. But, you know, come more so in the flow of the offense. You know, I'm looking forward to the matchup, though. I'm looking forward to see what Richmond can do against Bones Highland, how they're going to guard him, if they're going to throw some different buyers at him. I think I'm also intrigued to see what VCU's defense can do to kind of slow down, you know, Francis Gilliard, Tyler Burton. I'm intrigued. VCU doesn't really have a lot of size, so I do think Grant Golden will be able to kind of take advantage. But that's going to be a big-time matchup in the A-10. It's going to have serious implications down the line when it comes to, you know, that at-large seeding and when it comes to teams who – you know, who can really kind of afford to take a loss. And I think right now, man, I think if VCU can get this win, man, I think that they're trending in the right direction, man. If they can get the 4-1 with a win over Richmond, I think that, you know, obviously you mentioned before, right now it's kind of like St. Louis and Richmond for those teams that can kind of get turned. I think if VCU can get a win over Richmond, I think that'll put them in a different conversation. Obviously that moves into, what, I think 11-3 on the season, 4-1, the A-10. I think people kind of have to start taking them seriously, man. So I'm definitely going to have my eyes on that matchup in Richmond, Virginia this weekend.
You know, that's definitely going to be a great game to watch. One thing I didn't know until recently was how stiff that Richmond rivalry is. I mean, not even Richmond and VCU, but ODU, Norfolk State. I mean, those teams over there in Richmond, I mean, they take them rivalries, them games personally, man. I mean, I saw some banter from ODU and VCU a couple weeks ago back when they played. And I never knew that them rivalries were that serious over there, man. So definitely might see some fireworks this week. When VCU plays Richmond, man. So I definitely will be tuned in. Again, that game is going to take place this Saturday, 1 p.m. It's going to be on CBS Sports Network. So definitely be tuned in on the dials to that matchup, man. But that's going to do it for another episode of the Auto Bid, man. Thanks you guys so much for tuning in, man. Again, make sure you guys are liking, subscribing, giving us a rating.
sharing this podcast, man. Please tell a friend to tell a friend, share that good gospel about the Auto Bid, man. We are your home for all of mid-major college basketball, man. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at All Facts Media, on Instagram at All Facts Media. If you want to check out our other content, it's www.allfactsmediainc.com. You can find our written content, YouTube stuff. Everything's on our website. So make sure you guys go in and check that out.
And for sure, man. Also, man, for all you guys that are on Clubhouse, man, check out the free game crew. That's myself, my brother, obviously, you're all a big family here, but also along with two of our good friends, Rick Goings and Lenjo Kilo, man, we started giving out some free games to you guys on Clubhouse. So we got one dropping tonight at 9 p.m. And it's going to be called Lies and Recruiting. So for all you guys out there who are listening, you know, trying to get some advice or kind of you want to really know how this recruiting game works, you know, take it from two guys who have been recruited multiple times, obviously, you know, been through it. Obviously now on the outside looking in, man, we've been able to build our relationships with a lot of coaches, players. So we really know how this game works, man. So tune in tonight at 9 p.m. But we're going to start probably trying to do these things every Thursday, man. So if you missed them on this Thursday, no worries. We try to do them on Thursdays at 9 p.m. on Clubhouse. You know, and these are a little bit more, you know, informal, man. So you can just give you guys the opportunity to kind of engage with us during the conversation. We can, you know, let you up on stage and you can kind of share your piece on whatever topic we have, you know. So check us out on Clubhouse. I'm at Drew Robinson on Clubhouse, man. Make sure you guys tune in to those, the free game crew, every Thursday, 9 p.m. Just another way for us to, you know, engage with you guys, get some content out there and drop some gems, man. So make sure you guys check us out.
Yeah, and I am at Ace Robinson on Clubhouse. So make sure you guys add the boys, tune in to the free game crew every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Gonna bring you another episode tonight. But if you do miss this Thursday, don't worry, we'll be back at it again next Thursday with some more topics. That's gonna do it, man. We're gonna let my guy Pull Up Tay take us out with some music, man. So make sure you guys are streaming his music. And it's gonna be all for this week. You want the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. On me. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take your last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. I don't bet. Let's go. What's the topic of discussion? Love.